Technorama episode. Shut up. Technorama episode 463. Technorama. Neat.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need some transport off this rock. I don't want to live here anymore. Where can I find a pilot?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
We're keeping that one in.
Yes.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. Oh, and watching us too, because we got the live thing going. Yeah. If you're a returning listener slash viewer slash, I don't know, unwilling passenger in the vehicle, yeah. Welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time again. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm about 5'8", you know, a little inebriated.
How?
Inebriated?
Are you?
Inebriated.
I didn't ask for your blood alcohol content.
You asked, how was I?
Got a new
damn
got
good
a start
looking,
on your
I
birthday, huh?
Kiff, get me my fluffy slippers.
That's right.
I'm feeling saucy tonight.
We have cat paws showing underneath the door.
Yeah.
Someone wants in.
Clearly. Must be Todd.
Pause the show.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's clever. I don't get it.
It's like that UDP joke I never got. Oh. Also joining us in the Binary Studio is...
I'm wrong way, Ben Raginton.
And I'm Keith Lane. And here we are.
Here we are.
Is there a show today?
Wow. Did I just see the waveline go flat there for a second?
What's the next line?
What the chuck?
Clarity will ensue.
The script pretty much ends there.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean we have to make it up from here on out?
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
oh,
we'll hit some bullet points and that's about it. Coming up in this episode, we have prime numbers, mechanical body parts, and car spoiler.
And that's not a stutter.
No, it's not even a car that has a spoiler on it. Anyway, check it out. We'll be right back.
What is the weird show? UFOs, Bigfoot, frontier science,
magic,
outer space,
strange people,
robots, dinosaurs,
cryptozoology,
wonders,
evolution,
meat trees, alien life,
mysteries,
the occult,
chupacabra,
the
giant
artificial
animal,
alternative
ghosts,
ghosts,
extreme foods,
meteors,
environmental
mists,
wild
analogy,
language,
science,
memory,
fiction,
manipulation?
Ah, hell, I don't know. But it's a lot of fun. It comes out every week. That's guaranteed to be weird. A roundup of news stories. Some of which you may have heard of before, but you've never heard them like this. Find out more at uncaffeinated.ca.
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Hey, this is not Kate Vernon, but you're still listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
If you double click.
This is Kate Vernon. I smoke a lot.
We're skipping over the feedback thing because we just did that feedback thing in the show, with the other show. With
that's
email
right.
And
feedback
things.
And so thing.
Yeah. Go back in an episode and listen.
Yeah, because I think that's coming out first in the feed, right, Craig?
Yes, it always does.
Hope so. So anyway, let's do the history thing.
All right.
Remember your order. Yeah. On this day in history for January 27th, this is the 27th day of the year. I always do the lead-in. Now, you just do the first bullet. Stick with the program.
Okay, I'm in.
This is the 27th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 339 days remaining in 2016. Now it's your turn, Craig.
Okay. It was on this date in 1606 as part of the gunpowder plot, the trial of Guy Fawkes and his conspirators begins, ending with their execution on January 31st.
Wow, it took 3 months.
Yeah. The University of Georgia is founded, the first public university in the United States, on this day in 1785.
It was 136 years ago today that Thomas Edison receives the patent for the incandescent lamp.
January 27th, 1888, the National Geographic Society is founded in Washington, D.C.
And it was 77 years ago today that saw the first flight of the Lockheed P-38 Lightning.
It was partly wood. It had wood in that plane.
Yeah. Nuclear testing at the Nevada test site begins with a 1 kiloton bomb dropped on Frenchman Flat.
Suckly blue, that hurt!
In 1951.
49 years ago today, astronauts Gus Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee are killed
by fire
during the test of their Apollo 1 spacecraft.
And notice how your tone totally changed as we got to
Florida.
This is very exciting. Someone got killed.
You never know what we're throwing
Sorry.
At you.
I know.
That's been almost, I didn't read ahead.
Almost 50 years already.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
It was that same date in 1967, which would also be 49 years ago today. The United States, the United Kingdom, and the Soviet Union signed the Outer Space Treaty in Washington, D.C., banning the deployment of nuclear weapons in space.
Nuclear weapons. And limiting use of the moon and other celestial bodies to peaceful.
Thank you for finishing my line. There was a period there I stopped.
I was like, "What is?" I'm done. Waiting
editing was. That's why Craig wasn't talking.
Yeah, I was like, "Okay." And 32 years ago today, pop singer Michael Jackson suffers second-degree burns to his scalp during the filming of a Pepsi commercial in the Shrine Auditorium.
That same day in 1996, Germany first observes International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
That's fairly recent. That took them a long time.
13 years ago today, the first selections for the National Recording Registry are announced by the Library.
The Liberty of Congress.
There's no liberty National in Congress. January 27, 2006, Western Union discontinues its telegram and commercial messaging services. I vaguely remember covering that on Technorama.
I think we did talk about that.
That was a long time ago.
That's right. Years. Happy birthday goes out on this date to American engineer and inventor Mortise Locke, L.I. Whitney Blake.
Eli!
More on this date. What'd I say?
Eli. It's Eli.
Eli. Shut up, man. Born on this date in 1795.
Also born on this date in 1832, English mathematician, photographer, and author Lewis Carroll.
Francis Regalo. I suppose. The American engineer and inventor of the
Regalo Wing.
Regalo Wing was born today in 1912.
I get an easy one. Actress Donna Reed was born in the state in 1921.
Donna Reed.
And the man who played Zefram Cochrane in Star Trek First Contact, James Cromwell, is 76.
And finally, Ruskin dancer, choreographer, and actor. That actor sounds ill. Mikhail Baryshnikov. Is 68.
That was your Scottish Russian.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, Scottish Russian.
Yeah. They tell you. Together, they can see you from the front porch.
That's the way it was on this day in history for January 27, 2016. Wow, we just keep getting better, don't we?
So that was a Rottish accent.
Rottish. Like a fine wine. We get better with time.
Just give us another 34 years.
It's that or discussion. Rottish or discussion, take your pick.
News and weather, everyone.
Oh, we have news. We have a couple of news. The largest prime number.
Oh, yeah.
Has a new record.
Good God. It has how many million? What?
Yes. Missouri mathematicians discover a new prime number. At more than 22 million digits. That's more than my HP.
As he gets excited about it.
Wow.
More than my HP calculator will hold. Yeah. It's the longest prime yet. My HP calculator won't even hold the exponent of this number.
It's time to upgrade.
It says, A group of mathematicians at the University of Central Missouri have just discovered a new prime number at more than 22 million digits. It's the longest one yet. People have been hunting for prime numbers for thousands of years, ever since the concept was first discovered by ancient Greek mathematicians around 500 BCE. Prime numbers, of course, are curious in that they are only divisible by one and themselves. This newest prime number belongs to a category called Mersenne primes, named after the 16th century French monk and mathematician. I think he was on this day in history a little while ago.
Yeah.
The formula used to find these prime numbers is 2 to the n minus 1, which is relatively simple. Just repeat until you find a number that can only be divided by 1 in itself. It's pretty easy calculation to make because it's not every number it comes up with is a prime. Researchers rely on computers to help them, of course, sort through the increasingly long...
They don't do
long...
it on the blackboard anymore?
Actually,
or the chalkboard, excuse me.
They did.
Be politically correct.
At one time, and I got a story on that.
After 31 days of nonstop calculation, a computer program created by the Great International Mersenne Prime Search, Project GIMPS, uncovered the newest prime number on September 17th, 2015. 17's a prime number.
Yeah, imagine that.
But thanks to a glitch in the reporting system, it took until January 7th for the researchers to discover
it. And 7's a prime.
7's a prime.
Yeah.
Apparently, the reporting engine was bogged down in the CPU because the prime number thing sucked up all the cycles.
Oh, geez.
Now, get this. Here's how big the number is. So you may find this real fast. The number... they're just calling M74207281.
Which I think is a prime.
Probably.
Well, it's 2 to the... M74207281 is mathematicians are calling a new prime is 5 million digits longer than the previous record holder, which was also discovered by the GIMPS program. The new prime number is too long to write out in full here. Yeah, they'd fill up a few web pages, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But it was found by multiplying 2 by itself 74,207,281 times and then subtracting 1.
Because somebody had that much time on their hands.
Wow.
See, the exponent, 74,207,281, wouldn't fit on my old calculator.
Right.
Now, let me ask you a question. I know this is probably going to make me look stupid, like I need any help. But why?
Yeah. Well, that's just it.
That's what I've been asking.
What does this do? How does this benefit humanity?
Why did Captain Kirk climb the mountain?
Because it was there. He loved the mountain.
To hug the mountain, right?
I know there's a reason why we are fascinated with prime numbers and how they're important, but why would one that's so large, why does it matter?
It's a record. The only reason.
Why do people, swallow goldfish or do any other record holding thing?
Yeah. Back in the early 80s.
Why do they cram themselves into a
VW? Yeah.
Right.
Back in the early 80s, actually some friends of mine from high school, Corey was one of them. Her husband at the time and her father-in-law. I mean, these were people that her father-in-law worked at the Lawrence Livermore lab, and they actually calculated the prime out on a chalkboard.
Ooh.
Wow. And it did set the record at that time, but of course, it's been dethroned.
We're
twice.
Up to 7 digits.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
We're like 7 chalkboards now.
I mean, I'm sure one of our audience members out of the two knows what the boards would be. Because I'm just curious.
Impossible to do.
It's impossible to do it on a chalkboard.
Yeah. It is.
Or Chuck's calculator.
So does that mean if this is 5 million digits longer than the last one, what's the next one going to be? Another 10 million digits bigger?
So how do they count the digits? 1, 2, where was I?
Yeah. Yeah. Start again.
On a chalkboard.
Yeah.
I can just see, they keep erasing
on a chalkboard.
I know how they could find out. They could use Trump's programming language.
Mm.
There is a Trump code. Well, this is somebody did this as a lark.
I'm guessing that's based on the number of hairs that are out of place or something.
Anybody want to read this? It's actually kind of funny.
All right,
it's going to be huge.
Yeah. Right,
it's going to be amazing.
The code is going to be huge.
Yeah, huge. If programming isn't political enough for you, maybe you need to try a new language. How about Trump script, which lets you create code that the great Donald Trump would be proud to execute if he could, understand it.
I thought he could execute.
Created at Rice University's Hackrice. Last weekend, in just 20 hours, its makers claim that it's the programming language Trump would approve of. Just like he's making America great again, we hope our efforts will make programming great again.
Now, keep in mind, we try to keep politics out of this show, but this was too good to pass up.
Well, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, based on Python, TrumpScript contains some unique features, as its creators explains. No floating point numbers, only integers. America never does anything halfway. Correct. All numbers must be strictly greater than 1 million. The small stuff is inconsequential to us. There are no import statements allowed. All code has to be homegrown and American made.
Of course.
Instead of true and false, we have fact and lie. I like that.
This statement is patently a lie.
Yeah. And all programs must end with America is great. Error messages, which presumably Trump would get a lot of himself, given his understanding of technology, are mostly quotes taken from the man himself. Incorrect syntax, though, we'll see you being told that Trump doesn't want to hear that.
Access denied.
Trump script follows in the same fine footsteps as the Arnold Schwarzenegger programming language of 2014, which is equally amusing. In Arnold C,
Arnold C,
as it was called, every program had to start with "It's showtime" and ends with "You have to be terminated."
Of course, if the program's running.
And then, how does it start? Run!
You can download everything you need to use to run Trump script over at GitHub. Good luck.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah.
Hey, pretty soon we'll have a college course that covers this.
No, please, no.
Are you kidding? I'll be back.
Oh, had to put that in. Couldn't resist. The true and false was my favorite.
Yeah.
It's truth or a lie. Turning to the birthday calendar, we're going to go back a few days because we missed a few dates.
We're going back in time?
Yes. We have to go back to the future. We have some birthdays because Marty. We were off for a week. January 21st was Michael Rabelais, Stingray 42. Oh, long time listener. TAWO12294. I think that's another
the next prime number.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was my last flight number.
It was TWA.
Yeah, well, there you go.
No, there's no more TWA.
Flown since 1986.
January 22nd. On the 23rd, we have a trifecta of Kathy Luke from Illinois, Chris Moody from Podio Media Chat, and Keith Lane.
Who's that?
Happy birthday, Keith.
Yeah, thanks.
Happy post-birthday.
Yeah. The 25th, which will be after this show is released, or no, the show will be released after this, is our own Craig Stepp. Happy birthday, Craig.
As of this recording, it's happy pre-birthday.
Happy, that's right. At this recording, yes.
Right.
Happy pre-birthday.
Because we're recording this on the 24th. Yeah. Well, you'll see it on Facebook, I'm sure.
As I say every year, I still feel young and stupid, so.
Wait till you get to be 50. That's about when old sets in and beats you over the head.
Nope.
And then you're not old and stupid, you're just old and eccentric. Or old and senile, take your pick.
56.
Yeah, I guess I go from stupidity to eccentric. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
This is the year that I honestly feel old.
Nah. Just,
the body's starting to say, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. It only gets worse.
The 26th is Will, the computer guy. And we have two on the 27th. Mark in Memphis. We haven't heard from Mark in a while. We need to hear from you, Mark. Happy birthday to you.
We're hearing from other old listeners, so not old as in old.
Yeah, I mean, now we're all getting to be old listeners.
Yes, we're all old listeners.
We're old podcasters.
Never mind, Craig. You said it. It's out. And the 27th is also Chip Burkhead from the Scotchcast. Well, then we move into February where we have five more. Two on the 1st. Matt Baum, a.k.a. Racer X from Pittsburgh. Brandon Kirkwold from Minnesota. And on the 2nd, another trifecta of Gary Lindros, a.k.a. Gary from Jacksonville. We know Gary. We like Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah. Chuck, big Star Trek guy.
Yep. It's careful. Now you're mixing old and big. Careful.
I didn't say big. You said
big Star Trek guy.
Oh.
An old big Star Trek guy.
You're Freudian. That's a love for you,
Gary. Sorry.
Chuck Provenzano, a.k.a. Podlurker, a.k.a. Chuck's evil twin. I must meet this evil twin. He probably has a goatee.
No. They can go they can go with you to ChuckCon.
We're going to have a ChuckCon. I'll wear my shirt. And the third one on the second is Oreo Cookie Monster. Happy birthday to all these people.
Is that Crazy Joe's dog, Oreo?
People put their spouses and kids in here. I don't know.
I don't know.
They could be putting pets in now. Happy birthday. Yes.
By the way, not necessarily a birthday or anything, but I was looking at Facebook at a video from Brad Pendergraf, his son, Griffin. And they was...
his son? Okay, now I get it.
Yeah, it was his son, and he jumped in the snow. You saw the video too?
Yeah.
He took a challenge or whatever to jump in the snow. Anyway, so I started thinking and went, wait, is that the little guy we met at the the second podcast festival? I think it was the second
one.
It is.
Oh.
Ow. And I was like, he was like a little guy. I think they had him in a stroller or something.
I'm
like,
oh, dear. No, he wasn't in a stroller, and now he's in a
Now he's like an adult looking guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow.
Oh, geez. Oh, thanks. That made my day. Let's sing him the birthday song.
What day is today? It's Hitler's birthday. What day for a birthday? Let's all have some cake.
And you smell like one, too.
We're still searching for that ideal birthday song, as you can tell. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories and Things.
And Things.
Just because Keith and Ben are here. Be right back! The father of the space shuttle, George Miller, dies at age 97.
Wow, 97. Pretty amazing.
If he is considered to be the father of the space shuttle, who is the mother of the space shuttle?
And
what kind
she
of hell did she go through when that thing was passing through the birth canal? You son of a bitch, you did this to me!
Those tiles are like sandpaper.
Wow, okie dokie.
That was let's just nice close segue. The show right now.
Sounds good to me.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
It's right up there with the Bermuda Triangle.
We do the space shuttle, father of the space shuttle thing, and then we do Dr. Kaku.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep the universe in balance here.
Yeah. Right.
Light side, dark side, whatever. Where's the sound? Hacks and Strange Stories! We have a good story here. This should almost been in the news, but how it ended up in the Hacks and Strange Stories is another person's decision.
I don't know.
Craig, would you care to read this one or just summarize?
Sure. So Barry Armstead has spent much of his spare time over the past 2 years tinkering away in his backyard workshop, building a replica Iron Man suit. The Cantabera father of four is on a mission to get
Canberra.
Come on. This is from our loyal listener, Doug Alex in Australia. So you got to get his city names right.
Okay, the Canberra, father of four, is on a mission to give his sick kids in the hospital something. Wait a minute.
His sick kids? He has sick kids?
Yes. Well, he did have a child in the neonatal.
Okay.
You know what? Chuck, you read it.
The Canberra's father of four is on a mission to give sick kids in hospital something to smile about. Yeah, right, Mr. Armstead's idea was born after spending many hours in the neonatal intensive care unit at the Canberra Hospital after one of his children was born 2 months premature.
Wow.
Quote, "We did spend quite a lot of time in the hospital and saw a bit of what was going on with the other kids around the place," he said. "The idea evolved after seeing something like this suit on the internet. I made the first iteration and knew this would go well in children's hospitals." Made of steel sheets less than a millimeter thick. I love how it's a millimeter R-E.
Yeah.
Millimeter. Yeah.
The suit weighs 45 kilograms, which to you and me is going to be close to 100 pounds.
Hmm.
Yeah, let's use the imperial system here.
Including the electronics. Most of the weight is spread out over the body, so it's actually not as heavy as it might look, he said. It's certainly not as heavy as what knights in shining armor would wear fighting battles on horseback. I think I'll be pretty comfortable in the hospital ward for a few hours. The construction of the metal suit has been more than 2 years in the making. Before that, there was a cardboard version and a paper fiberglass version that led me to this, he said.
And then he went back to the cardboard version
after the fiberglass. Whoa, that stings.
This one looks like one of his early prototypes, like the one that was unpainted.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this out of feathers next time.
Feathers. Feather man. So he's a self-taught backyard metal worker, and he's been working on this. No word yet if he's gone into the hospitals, if they'll let him in.
Well, but he may have probably collapsed at the door
because of
wounds.
It.
What a great idea, just to be able to lift kids' spirits and pay back to the system. My payback when Julie was originally in the NICU was to donate blood. There was the Bloodmobile came around shortly after she was born, and we brought her home. And I thought, well, I understood that when you donate blood, it goes to different places. Mm-hmm. So one of them was the hospital where they took care of her. So that's when I started donating blood, and that's been my payback. So I think this is great too. Just some way to, because you can never repay a debt like that.
Yeah.
No, and it also makes the kids feel better, especially when, you know, children's wards in hospitals. I mean, a lot of them, you know, like cancer patients even. They feel really, you know, they're isolated, they're cut off. I mean, sorry, their family spends a lot of time, but they're quite familiar with pop culture, and to have somebody come in dressed in an Iron Man suit like that, I'm sure would just totally make their day.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, I'd probably go for more like Patch Adams than wearing a 100-pound Iron Man suit, but that's just me.
Craig would be the guy going in as the scary clown.
Yeah.
There you go. The Joker. Yeah. I'll go as the Joker. How about that?
Why so serious? Yeah, that's
put a smile on that face.
Hysterical, Craig.
Do you know what I got a smile on my face?
It's the doctor down the hall. He did this. I don't want to go there.
Why are all the kids crying all of a sudden?
Similar story. We don't know who the benefactors of this are, but there's a child in school. I didn't quite catch his name. Do you remember this? There's a full video if you follow through our show links. But
Harry Burton.
No, that's the principal.
Principal. Anyway, this boy born without like a right arm. He's never had an arm. And he's sitting in school one day, and all of a sudden, hey, you know, the whole school is excited because Darth Vader and some stormtroopers and an ebony C-3PO showed up. Wow. He wasn't gold. He was black. And I don't know if he was oxidized or what happened.
Well, there is a black protocol droid in the first movie.
He's like in the Empire or
Death Star.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a silver one in...
Well,
the silver one was in Cloud City.
Right, but there's a completely black one on the Death Star. Okay. It's just walks in the background, and that's it. You never see it again.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's who they brought in. Anyway, the whole school's going, hey, this is cool. Then they called this boy up and said, Timmy, Tommy, whatever his name was. He comes up, gets his picture taken with Darth Vader. They open up this suitcase, and it's a new prosthetic arm.
Wow.
And this is a high-tech thing made for apparently a group of people spent 2 days using 3D printing and electronics. And one day he hopes to write with this thing, but, just huge gratification on this.
That's incredible.
And he's walking down the hall with Darth Vader and his new arm and giving fist bumps to the stormtrooper and the whole school is applauding. And because when you have a difference like that, when you're a kid, you stand out and it's uncomfortable. Yeah. I know from personal experience, it ain't no fun.
This happened when I was six.
And I'm wondering how many now that he's got the Darth Vader arm, is he going to be trying to do force choking of little Billy?
That's right.
You know,
little Billy, let go of him. No, but that is pretty cool. I mean, we saw Robert Downey Jr. do that similar.
Yeah. He actually took on his Tony Stark persona and presented this kid with an Iron Man prosthetic.
Oh, yeah. That was recently.
Yeah, it was very recently. Sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was totally awesome. And so it's really great when we see studios and actors that are really coming out for these kids that have got these problems and to help them.
Well, I would even go further and say what's more amazing is that the technology for us to 3D print arms, because I mean, a lot of people are able to do that on their own or develop them, you know, and just put them out there, different designs that are maybe more flexible or, you know, do certain things better than others. And you're able to print them for somebody or yourself. It's pretty amazing.
Well, just the fact that those prosthetic arms now have such capability.
Yes.
I mean, when I was a kid in school,
it was a
jointed arm like that with just these hooks.
The two metal.
Yeah. That's all they could do. And, you know, and the kids were happy because they had something that they could work with. Mm-hmm. And where we've gone already, and as you said, Craig, the fact that we could 3D print those now is, I think, just astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cost is coming way down for that, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of 3D printers, someone said, hey, I'll bet I could 3D print the world's most complex Rubik's Cube.
No, thank you.
Why?
Now,
no, thank
you. My lovely wife can do a 3x3. I used to be able to. That knowledge is no longer in my head.
I used to be able to do it really well.
I used to do a 1x1.
She can even do a 4x4.
Ooh, I never could do the 4x4.
This man has made a 22x22.
I don't think so.
There are 484 squares on each side. He used a 3D printer to make this. Now, The video goes into how he actually made the mechanisms to slide past each other. And most people make this, and I did this rounded, curved thing. And he said he did the checkerboard pattern, and it took him 3 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't exactly spin, because some of those smaller pieces, you can see there's large corner pieces.
Yeah.
Then there's elongated edge pieces. But the ones in the center, they actually start to slide and twist on their own. Yes, it's not exactly precise.
No,
and in the video, he was assembling it. I think it
exploded. He said, "There's like 1,500 parts to this thing."
Oh my god!
And he had it nearly completed, and it just basically crumbled in his hand. He had to start over twice.
It looked like
I would be saying a bunch Terminator. Of four letter words at that point.
It looked like it lost containment and just turned to liquid.
It did. And he said, these are very difficult to sort out because you have to sort them before you can start assembling.
Oh, man.
He said, did I mention they're very difficult to sort out? It showed this thing turning to liquid in front of it. It's somewhat comical.
Well, you were the one who made it.
Yep. 3D printers. What will they do next? We'll find out on Technorama. Yeah. Want to give a shout out. Do we have anybody in the chat room?
Oh,
big goose.
Is it because of the football game? Well, no, I mean, the
football
Patriots,
game's over.
Yeah, football's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Cardinals lost big time.
Yeah, yay, sadly.
Panthers won.
15-49.
Oh, bite me.
So, Panthers and Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Yes, we're in there. That's the second time we've been in the Panthers.
Sorry to all our non-American listeners who really don't give a flying fig about that.
This is American football, not.
Yeah.
Watch it. I've got a lot of friends who live over in London.
Now we have some cool music for our thanking of the patrons.
Oh, cool.
And we got another patron this week. Can't ask for better than that.
For you.
Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, a.k.a. Mad Marv. Thank you to Mike Wills, Steve Tarian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Brent Pachoco, Chad D., Alexis Duran, and our latest winner, our latest patron, Ben Vaughn.
He's a winner. Hey, we'll call him a winner. We're all winners.
And I believe Ben is our first $2 donor, too. So thank you very much. Your contributions make this show possible.
He's throwing the gauntlet down. Everybody else.
I'm better than everyone else.
I'm a winner. I shall continue to win.
It was ghastly.
I want a schnitzel bonk.
Hey, where can I find some information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here.
in the media corner.
With a schnitzel bong, man.
It's not a schnitzel bong.
Oh, it's schnitzel bonk.
Bonk, yeah.
It's now, still a drinking song.
I'm sure many of you saw the video from Saturday Night Live.
Wasn't that great?
The Kylo Ren's get... Well, now the outtakes are out there.
Oh, no.
And they're equally funny. Adam Driver hosted Saturday Night Live last week, and by far the most talked about skit was the undercover boss spoofing featuring Driver as his Star Wars character Kylo Ren. Now Saturday Night Live has released the skits, flubs, and outtakes, and they're funnier than the skit itself.
Oh, dear.
We've got a link to it through the show notes. You know, he kind of reminds me of Napoleon Dynamite when he does that skit.
I kept wondering, who does he look like?
It is. Thank you very much. I couldn't figure it out, but now that you said it makes perfect sense.
I didn't think about it until I saw that picture. I'm thinking, boy, those big glasses are really a John.
I'm Matt, the radar technician.
You guys know Kylo Ren?
He's ripped. I love that. Hey, I love that out on the outtakes. He's talking to the guy and the guy says, "Are you married?" He goes, "I'm divorced." He says, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." So is she. he's got that Napoleon Dynamite look.
You ever take this X-Wing out some sweet jumps? we are going to mix this up bad. We've done Napoleon before.
Oh, I like the keep calm and destroy the resistance or whatever I said. The poster on the wall.
There were some interesting background things that are just in there for a sec.
Yeah. Hey, if you scroll down in the article though, there's the action figures that people photoshopped up of Matt.
Star Labor.
This is definitely not a Kylo Ren action figure. No.
You know what? I would almost
That's
buy one.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Oh, there's another one. Yeah. Matt Kylo Ren radar technician. Wow.
That is really well done.
Wow. People's Photoshops are really good.
I was trying to figure out if there's real somebody made that because it really does look. Looks like a real thing.
Have you seen the
3D printers?
The GIF or GIF, whichever way you choose to say it, of Kylo Ren pushing the box in front of Darth Vader, and then Darth Vader pulls out his Kylo Ren's lightsaber, and he's looking at it like this, and then he presses his thing. Oh!
Stabs him in his eye.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
My grandchildren are idiots.
Hey, I want to say something. Is it too early for spoilers on Star Wars now?
Oh, hell, we did a show.
We did a whole show.
Yeah, we did a whole episode.
Y'all did the whole show on it.
Give a warning to the listener. Spoiler alert. There, we're covered.
Spoiler.
Barely spoiler. I'll say barely spoiler. But, you know, the whole story with Kylo Ren and his father in the movie. And then you got Chewbacca there. Now,
and his father in the movie.
Oh, no, that's the holiday special.
And that was Grandpa Itchy.
Yeah, Grandpa Itchy. No, so there was a comic that kind of illustrated this, but I thought that I had the same similar thought. Don't you think that Chewie would be almost as equally invested in this little when he was a little boy? Because he hangs out with Han so much. And of course he's around Leia and everybody. Then they got the kid, the type of creature that Chewbacca, Wookiees, they seem like he would be all into, here's a little kid, here's my friend's kid. You think he would be all into it? And they would have had
like a godfather almost.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have had a good relationship with him at some point. So, it just seems like there's gotta be some kind of emotional thing there. Well, you kind of see Chewbacca gets choked up at the end, but you know what I mean? It just seems like
that was just a hairball.
Yeah, wouldn't Kylo Ren go see Chewbacca and think of him too instead of just worrying about his dad?
Yeah, you think?
You think Chewie was Kylo Ren's grandfather? I mean, godfather?
Yeah, could have been.
It could have been.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
Maybe Kylo Ren didn't really kill his dad, and Chewbacca's his dad.
Wow. Well, that would explain the hair.
Maybe that's Ray's dad.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We've tried everyone else.
Exactly.
Hey, well, there was that whole Chewbacca. Running gag with...
That's why they run away together at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Well, there was that whole running gag with Harrison Ford and Chewbacca on...
Kimmel. Was it Kimmel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, obviously Chewbacca did something that Harrison didn't like.
When you... What is the phrase? When you've removed everything that's possible, the only thing that
must be the truth. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chewbacca's got to be her
father. Ray's
father. Occam's razor, yeah.
Wait.
That is not Occam's razor. No, you can't cross Occam's razor with a Wookiee. You'll get a bald Wookiee.
All right. But wait a minute. So I see where things are going here. Okay, so Kylo Ren is Han's father. Rey is actually Chewbacca's. Ooh, with Leia. Ooh.
Rey is actually Chewbacca's mother? What?
That's why they sent her off, because they didn't want it to get complicated and weird.
Okay.
Unlike this conversation.
Can we get on to another spoiler?
I got nothing.
According to UPI, an image of a truck bearing a spoiler for the plot of the Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, received negative reactions after being posted online. The photo, featuring a black Jeep SUV with a major plot point for the most recent Star Wars film, written on the back window. I was expecting, you know, like those little stick figures with mom, dad, and...
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was expecting. It's like, here's mommy, here's daddy, you know, put the buns on the side of the mom's head. Well,
yeah, because here's Leia, here's Kylo Ren, here's Han Solo.
With the saber stuck through it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I want that sticker.
This guy took it too easy. He just put a thing on his truck that said, Han Solo dies in Force Awakens.
That's no fun. I'd be objecting over the lack of humor in it.
Right.
I would have to ram his car if I had not seen the movie and I saw that.
No, I would be
that's
just...
That's what some people want to do.
My road rage would all be based on the fact that there was something... There was no originality.
No imagination.
That.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. You can do better.
You can do better than that.
I can do better than that. That's kind of how I started podcasting.
Would you be upset if you saw that and you had not seen the movie yet?
Yeah, I'd say that'd kind of wreck it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another Wash Dies moment.
Yeah, really.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
I haven't seen Serenity.
Oh, too soon?
Too soon. All right.
Too soon.
If you want, I had a too soon moment this past week.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I went there. Okay. I was doing a demo. Had Debbie Day was our demo person. And I said, this is Debbie. Debbie's going to enroll in the School of Rock. And we had live data on my mobile phone and people were watching it on the projector. And I said, she's got courses like rock appreciation, history of rock and roll, and intro to physics. Now, clearly one of these things doesn't belong here. So she punches this link and has a chat with her counselor. And I hit the microphone on my iPhone. I said, hi, this is Debbie. I'd like to switch intro to physics with band practice. Send that message. And over on the other screen is Lana Keels, her counselor. Sure, Debbie, I can make that happen for you. Click, click. And I'm going through this thing in real time, live demo. And I said, by the way, the instructor may be a little late. Well, while I was putting this demo together, I noticed the instructor's name. So as I walk through this demo, I say, here, now Debbie refreshes her course schedule. And there's band practice with instructor David Bowie. That's the reaction I got. And that's the reaction I wanted. I said, what? Too soon?
Oh, my Lord.
I did this on Tuesday morning. Three times. And I said, what? Too soon? Now, keep the timeline in mind. Maybe I should have said Glenn Frey.
Oh.
Oh.
Shoot.
Good Lord, Jeff. Oh, wow.
Why
don't you just go around and slap everybody in the face?
I try to keep my audience awake.
Yes. More like offended. Wow.
They're grabbing the pitchforks.
Grab your pitchforks and torches. Yeah,
they're going to start a riot.
Yeah. I'm still gainfully employed.
Just barely.
Too soon?
You're just highly unpopular now.
Always watch your demo data.
Exactly.
There may be a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. Wow. Text me next time before you pull that.
And on that note, we're going to take the show out. Our final question, our question for this week is, this came from Jack Mangan last night. We were out on a double date with he and his woman, Tiffany. And he said, what geek book should you have read for geek points, but you know you never will? We said, you know, there's always those ones that you get halfway through and go, nah, I'm not going to finish that. But people say, hey, you should read The Martian Chronicles. You go, you know, I should, but I won't.
Yeah. I started.
You know what? I keep trying to start Foundation.
There it is. Thank
you. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Foundation.
Because I read the iRobot.
Yeah.
And then I downloaded the Foundation.
Mm-hmm. I can't get the Foundation.
And I got through the first like three pages and it's like,
it's usually Asimov or Bradbury or Heinlein. Yeah, there's certain authors that you just don't want to do it.
Yeah,
like, I did the same thing you did. I was like, okay, I'm invested in this.
Yeah, I've read Asimov, and then I tried to read Foundation. I thought I got maybe a third of the way through the first book, and I thought I'm done.
I didn't get that far.
Maybe 10 pages.
I think I got 2/3 of the way through The Martian Chronicles and never went back. So that's another hanging story. But yeah. I don't know that. I'll have to think. And we want to know from you, listener, are there any books that you know? You know, these usually the famous ones like the Heinlein and the Bradbury. I almost said Roddenberry again.
Stranger in a Strange Land. That's a tough one.
I do have some on my Audible waiting list. Like The Moon is a Harsh Mistress that I haven't read. I know I should.
Yeah.
And I will get to eventually, but I don't think there's any that I've just sort of shelved carte blanche and said, no.
Yeah, the next one on my list book wise is,
to not Ben's, read.
To not
read. No, it's the Touched by an Alien one.
I think you'll like that.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I'll add that to my list as well.
There's 12 other books to read.
Yeah, but it's a very easy read.
Yeah, Touched by an Alien is really easy.
Very easy read.
Yep. Have you read that one, Donna? No.
Yeah.
Good to know.
She just lives down the street.
She lives down the street from me.
Cool. Oh, that's right. You said you read it had the interview.
Yeah,
that's right. All right. We want to know from you, dear
listener.
Invite
her over, Chuck.
She'd come over. Yeah. She would. She knows where the house is. She's been here before.
Then there's an excuse to read at least one of the books.
At least.
And she's been here. So she just punch that up in your GPS.
When this used to be Draco Vista. Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty much the same house.
Yeah.
Pool party.
Oh, yeah.
Pool party.
Invite her to the pool party.
Yeah. She came to the Farpoint Media pool parties.
All right. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your book list that you will never, ever read. Call the listener line 206-222-2428 or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You'd think I'd get that right after a while.
Chuckchat@chuckchat.com.
Whatever it is. Thank you, Ben.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome.
Tell the lovely listener where they can find you.
TGGeeks.com.
No, you're just two chairs down in the corner.
Yeah, in the corner.
In the media corner.
Well, you take a left at Albuquerque.
I really hope there's somebody out there getting the appreciation of the schnitzel bong thing.
I'm still trying to figure out what one is.
I did learn that song in second grade.
And you can sing it to Ode to Joy.
Yeah. You can sing it to We found that out. Scary what goes on in this show.
Hey, I found an Animaniacs schnitzel bong.
There it is.
Oh, no. We're going to watch that later. Give me a 101 first.
All right. 101 first.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?